And the reading this morning is from Philippians 3, verses 12 to 21. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies on the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be made like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So when I approached this passage, I actually thought it was quite a tough passage, I thought. But once I dug in, I found some interesting things, and so those are things I'm going to share with you this morning. So here we are, coming towards the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians. It is the mid-first century. Philippi, although not large, was prominent in its location, with a rich heritage and distinctive culture, and good links to Rome. Paul reaches out to the church in Philippi, who are actually doing pretty well. It is said that the letter is dictated from prison after Paul was arrested for a public disturbance. Written on goodness knows how many scratchy bits of parchment, this is a pastoral letter affirming the faithful and encouraging them in their continuing spiritual journey. And it reminds us that even the healthy need maintenance. So where does today's passage leave us? How are we to approach our Christian life and keep spiritually topped up? Well, Paul answers that for us in this passage, and he begins by saying that we are to press on. He has not already obtained this intimate knowledge and relationship with Christ he desires, as described in verses 8 to 11 of this chapter. So what does he do? Does he give up? Does he say, well, this is not going to get any better until Jesus returns? Does he assume that he has worked really hard at it and there's nothing more he can do? No. He says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. And notice what he says next. Why does he press on? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Or as one translation says, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. For Paul, the only reasonable response to Christ taking hold of him is for him in turn to turn around and try to cling on to Christ. The subject of pressing on is rather central to many people's lives as we navigate this earthly life and all its challenges that we face. I'm now halfway through my college training, on the way to being ordained next year, which is a really scary thought. On top of my family responsibilities, there's my hospital chaplaincy placement at Jimmy's and the LGI. essays, journals, reflections, book reviews, reports and curacy applications, all on tight deadlines, not to mention signing up to preach today. I'm sure all this sounds very familiar to Sally. So clinging on to Christ is pretty much all I can do, because the reality is, without Jesus, the task ahead is impossible. And sometimes I have to remind myself to stop trying to control everything. God's got this. As we have noted at the very beginning of the passage, it's a reminder that we all need to humbly acknowledge that we haven't arrived. Not that I need reminding. Twice Paul uses a negative to correct any misunderstanding that the Philippians might have regarding spiritual maturity in general, or with Paul's Christian life in particular. He goes on to say, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." Some false teachers in Philippi had adopted a perfectionist view of spirituality, which sounds terrifying. Paul says that even though he has counted everything as loss for the sake of Christ, that doesn't mean he has arrived. He isn't perfect. He hasn't entered the resurrected state yet. He's straining ahead for that day. Now, if Paul could have this attitude, then surely so should we. The gospel humbled Paul. Look at the way Paul talks about his life here, as compared to his pre-conversion experience in verse 6, where he describes himself as under the law, blameless. He thought of himself as having totally arrived. But as I said, the gospel has a humbling effect. In telling the Philippians that he wasn't perfect, Paul not only corrects any misunderstandings they may have had on certain matters, but his words surely brought hope to them as well. Paul is identifying with them as fellow Christians. He doesn't want them to think that he is somehow superhuman or above them. He's made some incredible statements about his life in the book of Philippians, but he's admitting that he hasn't yet made it. So we definitely need to keep pressing on, just as Paul says. There is a tale of two travellers who met at a junction where the roads lead off in different directions. One of the travellers asked the other, "Which way do I go from here?" And the other answered, "Well, that depends entirely on where you want to go. If you don't know where you are going, it doesn't really matter which way you go. Any road will take you there." In order to know how to walk in our spiritual journey, we also must know where we are going. And our goal is to grow in our Christian faith and to achieve the eternal reward that God has promised. Paul wants them to know that he's with them on this journey, and that this is one of the marks of true Christian leadership. It's about following Jesus, becoming more like him, and bringing others along with you on the journey. We all want to grow in Christ's likeness, to try not to be judgmental or critical of others, but to try to love others and to be an encourager. And to do that, we all need God's grace to help us head in the right direction. In verse 17, Paul encourages his readers to follow the example of life that he is modelling for them. He said something similar to the Corinthians in his first letter to them. He said, "Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." Although Paul has admitted he is not perfect, he is committed and he has proven faithful over the long haul in his walk with Christ. And there are apparently other Christians within the Philippian congregation who are living in the same manner. Paul holds himself and these other spiritually mature Christians up as examples in the faith. Much of our Christian growth comes in the same way a child grows up to be an adult. It comes from imitating those who are more mature than us, like parents, carers, teachers, and so on. And the same is true in our Christian lives. There are many people I'm sure we all know that we can learn from, that can assist us to deepen our faith and walk more closely with Jesus. I certainly can think of people that I can learn from, and it's an ongoing process. We need to look carefully at who we are imitating. We need to look at what they say about themselves and their lives. Paul reminds us that there are people who, as we see in verse 19, have their minds set on earthly things, meaning that they characterise a worldly life in opposition to God. These are people whose God is their appetites. These are people who boast in things they should be ashamed of. And as Paul says in verse 19, their destiny is destruction. We are also reminded in the next two verses, Philippians 3:20-21, that the kingdom of heaven is reserved for the true citizens of heaven, who are waiting the arrival of the heavenly Redeemer. But our citizenship is in heaven, as we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul is reminding us that we are not only citizens of an earthly kingdom, but as Christians we are also, and much more importantly, citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And in this heavenly kingdom, there will be no need for election days, or Brexit, because there will be one king forever, and his name will be Jesus. And there will be no more veterans, because there will be no more wars. And there will be no more need to have people fight for our faith, because we will no longer be walking by faith. As Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When we enter our heavenly kingdom, we will have seen Jesus with our own eyes. We will have seen all his promises to us, and we will no longer need to walk by faith alone. Hopefully you're familiar with the movie Chariots of Fire. It's a movie about two runners in the 1924 Olympics. Eric Liddell, a Christian, was one of the two runners. He makes the often quoted statement, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Paul too felt the pleasure of running for the prize, and he's commending this way of life to us. As you run for the prize, may you feel God's pleasure too. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who ran for the joy that was set before him. Run for the pleasure of Christ, the one who has made you his own. So therefore, let us press on. Let us press on to know Jesus, and knowing him more intimately, become more like him. Let us press on by noting these five challenges for growing in spiritual maturity. Humbly acknowledge that we haven't arrived. Passionately pursue greater knowledge of Christ. Never lose the wonder of the gospel. Follow Jesus-centered examples and live in the light of your true citizenship. Let us strain forward until we see him. When we see him, we won't regret having pressed on to know him more and more in this life. We won't regret having lived in view of our true citizenship. Every day we are getting closer. Keep running until you see him. Heavenly Father, we are confident of this, that you who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. For all of us share in God's grace. We pray that our love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help us determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ we may be pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise of God, now and forever. Amen.